in the field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, for the joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth a field. The word, some words here are good, and it's good for us to observe there are two hidings. First, it was hidden out of thought inherently as part of the field, and then it's hidden the second time. And I thought that was a governmental hiding, because I feel that the treasure is seen in Israel, which maintains an aspect of the kingdom. So we need to identify the treasure.
You're thinking there's a peculiar treasure unto me? Malachi, there I make up my jewels.
Yes. Yes.
You would use those verses as a key to amplify it.
I was using Exodus 19 and Deuteronomy 14, Deuteronomy 26, Psalm 135. And such passages where that expression is used. And I thought that with the use of a word like this in the passage, they could readily refer to that.
I have thought that treasure was the kingdom. That's what made that decision. I don't think we should tie it to Israel or tie the pearl to the church. I think that's a mistake and move past.
Yes, what do you think?
And it is. But that's serious. Oh, no. I think I'm in the treasure. And I think I'm in the pearl.
Well, you might be disappointed.
I'm not disappointed. Now, the treasure hidden, our brother mentions two hidings. I thought the second hiding was simply this, that when he had found it, he didn't go and tell about it. He kept it hidden, in the sense that he kept it well. He got the deep thought. And I thought that the hidden treasure is God seeing the kingdom in all its perfection, unseen by men. But the treasure to his heart.
I think that's the millennium, brother. The millennial kingdom.
Oh.
Ah. Did you? No. No, I hadn't thought so, brother. Really, no. I thought it was comparable to Daniel 12. All right?
This is associated with when the Son of Righteousness arrived, with healing in his rays.
Yes.
Healing his wings with the altar.
Yes. No, I thought it was the same, because in the Revised Version, they use the definite article, and they say the fee in the parable of the treasure. Not a fee. In the fee, which links us with the interpretation the Lord has given of the field earlier. Pardon? In order to have his rights on challenge, he bought it at Calvary. And he has redemptive rights. And in order to make choice of Israel out of the nations, he has secured the whole field, that no one can contest what he's going to do. In spite of what Mr. Blake and Mr. James said. Yes? Maybe in application, but I wouldn't have thought in interpretation.
If you mix the kingdom and the church, you're in trouble right away, brother. Please keep the two distinct. They're not coextensive, and you made that clear and keep to that.
Isn't the Lord speaking generally in verses 44 and 45 when he's speaking of the treasure and the pearl? Is it necessary to be specific? Is he speaking not of that which is precious to him, and therefore you can apply it to whatever you wish in terms of the Lord's people?
We do not expect to get
the entirety of Israel is the church on the Mediterranean. See, that moved from husband to husband, all that life to the king. And I was thinking also the relation between the pastors, who is this man, a portion, he has a purpose in relation to the father, and the Jewish lineage is in relation to the son, including redemption, and in a more public way, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Then responsibility devolved in the front man in relation to the spread of the gospel, and angelic ministry coming in at the end, and the opposition of Satan for the way.
Thank you. Tom. I would have thought the same difference existing between the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God. Same person, only from a different aspect. Well, Mr. Love used to say it's a good thought if you'd scoop you for it. Hi, brother. Hi, brother. Yeah, Mr. Harding.
Just wanted to suggest that the Old Testament scriptures would help us in the matter.
I thought so, brother.
We're going to be scripture calling the Constitution and finding the Old Testament scriptures that did not scripture. And we have in the present the nation of Israel. And you heard the church, and then the end of the mission is appeared in the darkness. And I would suggest that whereas we may have a development of the Uganda in the 16th and in the
11th,
we have a development there in the chapter, in the first, and in the good of the darkness.
Yes. Well, yes.
The timer emphasized that God had purposes to give his son the dominion on earth. So that was the item of his first coming. But he maintained his rest or secured that kingdom through his death upon the cross. He fought the meat. He has his title given to earth. And he took the same man. But apart from that, the son of the unique.
And of course, in that, as long as you understand that it's through Israel, the first thing you said will be manifested.
Yes.
Right.
Well, it's in fact that Israel is what the name of Israel,
right?
Right. And it's through the heavy.
Right.
And just follow along that there is no negative atonement for the thought of being for the treasure that was in.
Good. Amen. Pardon.
And therefore, if you obey my voice and you keep my covenant, you shall be my peculiar treasure,
right.
All from the above, you know, of all the earth and man.
Right. I thought so. I quoted that. Deuteronomy 14 says practically the same. Deuteronomy 26, Psalm 135, verse 4. Malachi 3:17 is the one you quoted. The jewel is the treasure. Sorry, Sean.
I think I
That's the point.
That's all I see.
Good. That's right. Good. Yes.
The two parables that we're looking at, the treasure and the pearl,
right,
they're not made up for any development, either for good or evil.
Right.
The whole stress is the people of God and God Almighty.
Why? Because of the price paid.
Exactly. And that's the point. So that all now is being directed to the seeker of the treasure and the buyer of the purse.
Right.
And we might not be able to agree on the treasure or the purse, but it shows you the people of God, as God will see them, and God does see them, and his face is made them.
Right. And then people of God are the kingdom.
Yes, that's the
king.
Yes, sir.
Well,
God has it now. He's bought that.
Now. Leave
it there.
If you can ask,
you know,
oh, by all means,
brother.
I'll ask him a few questions.
If we accept what you say, Brother Albert, what's the distinction between the treasures like that? What distinction can you see? I accept the breath of the king.
Yeah, all right.
But is there a distinction then?
The distinction is, first of all, very simple. Down on the surface, that the treasure is found without seeking. But the pearl is found because it's sought. So that the kingdom, on the one hand, it's known to be there by the one who purchased the kingdom. That's why he paid such a price for the kingdom, because of the treasure in it. So the kingdom in the world, unseen by men and unknown to man, was viewed by Christ as something valuable, I give my life for that. The same in looking at the pearl, but the pearl is a merchant man who knows the value of pearl. A man finding a treasure may not know what it's worth, but a man seeking pearls knows what he's after, and he knows what it's worth when he does see it, and he can buy it. He's not a fishing for pearl. He's a merchant man buying pearl. He's in the trade. And he knows what it's worth. And the one that paid the price at Calvary knew what he was buying, and knew what he was paying it for.
Yeah, but the distinction that I'm going to make, and that very emphatically, is this, that if I wanted an interpretation of that, I come to the Old Testament and I see the word treasure applicable directly to Israel, and when I look for the Old Testament use of the pearl, I can't find it at all.
But why not use, as is often done in the New Testament, language that's used of Israel in the unique sense, in the good sense, can often be applied to God's people in the present age, and right well you know it in many quotations,
yes,
it's originally applied to Israel and is equally applicable to the present day state.
Yeah, but
I believe that the kingdom is the unseen kingdom, established by Christ, continues right to the manifestation, or whatever you call it, the advent or whatever it is,
yeah,
includes Jew and Gentile, whether it's in the pearl or in the right.
Yeah, well,
that's what I believe now.
Yes,
you know where I'm wrong.
Yes, sir, you're definitely wrong.
No trouble finding out where I'm wrong. You can easily see it. It's as clear as crystal. All our brother knows the difference.
Why
is it
I thought it's a decorative adornment that indicates the worth of the suffering Christ. And I thought the pearl is something that's a result of suffering, created by agony and irritation. And I thought that makes it very distinct.
I think that would come naturally. The entrance is the cure through suffering.
That's right. Thank you, brother. Just a minute. Right. Right. There would be. And added to that, the word sell in both cases are different. He sells more for the pearl than he does for the field.
Yes, but the man that bought the field is not the man that bought the pearl. You can't make the field go. The man that found the field is not the man.
But the Lord's speaking the both things.
Yes, but he could still speak of the fact that he gave over.
Yes, brother. Well, I thought we got that distinction fairly clearly brought out in the former reading, Brother Jim, didn't we? Were you not happy about that? Pardon? Yes, I thought so. No.
Regarding the creature, the angel of God, the angel of heaven, they are often interchangeable, but not in every context.
No.
So the Trinity cannot be exactly at it. We have seen from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There is a sphere, I think, that is heavenly compared with the earth. So that they are interchangeable in relation to earth, but not interchangeable in relation to heaven on earth. And I'm sorry that I have to go.
Sorry about that. Amen. That's right, different words of the previous one. No, I thought it says death. I thought so. I thought it's cut the Messiah cut off and at nothing. Oh, there's no legality here, brother.
Nobody can hear that, brother.
Just,
words he hated.
Right.
I look upon this, I have always written upon this as Israel.
You still do, of course. Amen. I thought the first hiding, as I used the word, was the inherent side of the thing. And I thought the second hiding was the governmental side of the thought, and thus related with Romans 11.
That's the passage I have before me in this moment. Hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and the tribe of Benjamin. And I would submit, being an Englishman, that there might be a compromised position. And that is, that in the pearl, you have Israel, but you have the saved of Israel, particular, as brought out in Romans chapter 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought that's the point, brother. It's very precious.
Yes.
Yes.
It's hidden in the sense that it hasn't yet manifested his things to make him visible. Psalm 24 will manifest those things.
Right.
The obvious purchases of
right.
His and his life.
You're speaking of the treasure.
Yes.
Thank you.
I wonder if we could emphasize a point that Brother Mr. Hertzson made, and that is the heinous character of the limited atonement doctrine, that Christ only died for the elect. How the gospel can be preached if that theme, that idea, is foremost in one's mind, I do not know. We thank God for the old gospel text that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son.
Christ was in
the effect of the divinity, but the Christ was in it.
I think there's one lovely feature about the pearl which we should grasp here, whatever interpretation, that if it's broken, it ceases to be valuable. Other diamonds and precious stones are broken and still retain their value, but a broken pearl is no longer valuable. And I thought that spoke of oneness and the unity that should mark the thought that's in the passage.
Professing body may be left.
Right.
There's something peculiar that cannot be contaminated.
Right. Yes, that's very, very beautiful in regard to the passage, brother.
And is the pearl built up by organic growth?
Layer upon layer, isn't
layer
it?
Layer upon layer, that's right. The idea. The
yes.
Or it's not the process of developing the pearl, it's the
person. Value.
Of the pearl. It's a merchant bank.
Yes.
It's not a
treasure
now. No, no, not looking at its growth here. But that's how it grows.
You say something about the fallen matter?
Well, it's not really here, brother, but I mean, if you were ministering on pearls and you wanted to tell the people of God all about them, by all means.
I have brought, I read with a foreigner, sinner, never been brought nigh me, he's a pearl of great light.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. That's very good. Yes, that is in the passage.
The thought is of preservation. And that the treasure in the field will not be contaminated.
No.
It's in the field. They'll not be affected, that will not hinder the treasure and the treasure. And the pearl that has been brought out from such depth and such darkness will be the reflection of the face of Christ, the very gift of glory of Christ.
Very good. It's nice to notice now a contrast that the treasure is hidden, but the treasure in the scribe is brought out. And the two words are interesting here, aren't they? You know, in contrast, that here's something concealed, but the scribe is revealing something. The treasure is being revealed. Now, verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Now, we're back into the sea again. I don't think we have any difficulty here. Once the sea's mentioned, that we're in the nations again, aren't we? But I think we're in a different period. I think we're in a different stage. Would that be important in the passage? I think we're coming near the consummation of things now, aren't we? Hmm? Now, what is the net?
You have to make the other stages now. Well, you have to make each of them stages. You're going to make this the consummation, which is quite correct.
Yes, yes.
That is, certain features of the kingdom will be prominent at certain stages of it. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. Well, I have no problem with that. I think this is the pearl stage.
I hope so.
You're certainly right in saying we're coming to the end, because
that's what
can I say, sir.
Yes, that's right.
Getting
to the age.
Yes.
It's showing that after the rapture, God has still purposes of grace to visit.
Yes.
And that was still included in the time period that we're dealing with.
Yes. Would you feel that this net really is representing the Word again? The Word? As it's coming through the chapter? And does it not envisage a something from which it is cast forth? And mustn't it also suggest something to which the net is brought? Brought to the shore? And would you not see in this, in some measure, Israel? And the work of Israel? The work of the kingdom?
The whole situation is viewed in a parallel, isn't it? It's
yes.
Not a question of the net when it was cast out or anything like that.
No.
It's the question of the kingdom of heaven is like the net and all the details fall, and when it was full, it was drawn to the land. And the focus now is upon the end point. When the discriminative judgment takes place between what has been encompassed in the net.
And when's the net thrown out?
We're not sure. That's not the point.
Do you men think it never can be thrown out until the rapture's over?
Well, I think it is to be the wide sweep of the kingdom. But now we're growing towards the final stages of it. But this big wide sweep has already prevented that is going on today.
I think Mr. Cain has the point here, that it's in view of the end, because that is specifically said. But as our brother Jim has said, no specific time is given for the casting out of the net. And it's
the
general...
is upon the fact that the net's going to drop in.
It's a general principle, is it not?
Is that not the idea? You see, my idea is that we just don't need to draw lines and say that's the net stage starts, the prayer stage starts, and so on. I don't think we should do that, though.
Verse 49 says, so shall it be in the end of the age.
That's when it's brought in.
Brought in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would have thought that's when the net's cast out.
I would have thought that there would have been a while. Like my brother David said, the wide sweep of gospel preaching right down the ages.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was covered by the sowing.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that the wheat and the tare character things would relate to the very end. But I thought that this was specific work.
At the end?
Yes.
I would have thought so. I would have thought that this is particular, brethren. I may be wrong.
You notice that in the earlier parable, it was a man, or a sower, or a woman. It was always personal, man by. But in this, it's they. You notice that?
I did.
Yes.
And I interpret the they as to be the remnant that have the word of God, and that are moving in the end times for God, and are thus the source from which this net is cast, as regards the nations.
But my point is still that it's not the point of the time gone when the net is cast out, it's the drawing in of the net that's important. Now, what stage that net, even gospel preaching now, we know there'll be another preaching after the church is gone and so on. But that's all a continuation of the same thing. And the focus is upon the gathering the full net and being pulled in.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we bear in mind the teaching in connection with the tares, verse 40, verse 41, which looks on to the end, but encompasses a wide period before the end.
Well, I thought the casting of the net, the gathering of the net, the drawing of the net, the sorting of the fish in it, the retaining of the good, and the rejection of the bad was at the end of the age. Right.
To understand that all these words again are present stage are simultaneous.
There is not only successive stages, but there is a consummation. And I thought we had reached the consummation. See, our brethren can get away with it because they don't interpret it the way I'm interpreting it. I haven't the slightest doubt about that, but I didn't think that was in the passage. I thought that that was related, that's been already dealt with by the other parables. And I thought this was distinct from this gospel age entirely. I thought this was the kingdom period in relation to Israel. And this was the net going forth from Israel in the nations and bringing in what you have in Matthew 25, the goats and the sheep, the good and the bad. And as our brother earlier, I thought, linked it with the same judgment. I thought we were focusing in the consummation at the end of the age. The tares brought us there, and I thought the dragnet brought us there. I don't mind being helped on this, but I mean, this is what I feel it to be, bro.
I agree with you on that point, but for one difficulty, the tense is present. If you come to Matthew 25, he shall be likened unto it. It's a future passage. Here is like. It's not specifying just the act of going out of life. It's a picture given of the end time.
Pardon, brother, again? It mixes the figure, but I thought it's the same kind of thing. You don't agree with that, though?
No.
No, you don't say it again. Although you wouldn't specify it. You're making that's going on now.
I think that while it's the consummation that's in view,
yes,
certain traces of these things are already evident to us just now.
Yes.
These mass movements that you hear about, all these big networks, you can see it everywhere. I think that's just, as it were, the beginning of what will be consummated in the, at the advent of Christ.
This event isn't just resting upon the gathering in of the end. Really, the crest is the end of the year. And the gathering in, and I would take that the whole parable is referring to the end times, because that is really the crest of the parable. In the
Ethan
Ted, it's a continuous stone, isn't it?
You see, I would have attached, I may be wrong here, Brennan, I would have attached very significant importance to the fact that they sat down and gathered the good. You see, those are actions which I thought we couldn't ignore.
Well,
yes.
Again, the thing will have to life on you and that, but it was not the death in the eye.
Right.
It was not a process or a death in the eye. Conflict. And then there's a term, verse 48, which, when it was full, a waiting period,
right,
a long waiting period, they drew to shore a death in the eye. And the set government gathered the food and the vessels, but not the bottom of a death in the eye.
Right.
It seems to be something definite happened.
Right. No, I thought it was a definite act. And I thought that it has to leave the shore first to reach the sea. And it's brought to the shore again. And I thought that really, I may be going too far in the interpretation. I thought really that was Israel envisaged in the land. There's the activity.
Certainly at the end of the age, it will be the converted Israel. I take it those 144 representative men in the book of the Acts, that will be the evangelizing. We'll definitely see a big work done in the future day. We're all agreed on this. And we're agreed that this is the climax of the thing. The only thing that we're not as clear about.
Right. No, I thought it was a definite act. And I thought that it has to leave the shore first to reach the sea. And it's brought to the shore again, and I thought that really, I may be going too far in the interpretation, I thought really that was Israel envisaged in the land. There's the activity.
Certainly at the end of the age, it will be the converted Israel, I take it those 144 representative men in the book of the Acts, that will be the evangelizing. We'll definitely see a big work done in the future day. We're all agreed on this. We're agreed that this is the climax of the thing. The only thing that we're not as clear about is we don't see in this at all the rapture.
No.
We see the kingdom running on through as if the rapture hadn't taken place. Oh, this is where we're in difficulties now. And I think we should notice too, before I stop speaking, that he gathered fish of every kind. Look at the end of verse 47. But don't mix the every kind with the bad. It's not the different kinds that are separated, but it's the good and corrupt that are separated. So that out of various nations and different parts of the world they'll be gathered, there'll be a variety of people brought into the net, but it's only the corrupt that will be cast away.
That's right.
Does it bear out what you've said, Mr. McShane, in connection with Revelation 7? We have the Jewish testimony in the former part of the chapter, but at the end of the chapter, we have the product of that testimony, where we have the great multitude coming out of the great tribulation.
Yes, and I would say that's the net pool, as we would say, at the end. But just to be sort of water-tighting it, my brother, the way you would do it, and I know you're happy about it, I would see that mainly as the end as in view, but just to say that there's not an overlap is where I'm in difficulty. Bear with me.
I'll bear with you, brother. As long as you bear with me that I'm right.
When this compared with the sheep being separated from the goat.
I thought so.
That's the end of the age.
I thought so, yes.
And whilst the passage does not deal with the rapture as such, if we see the pearl as something unique in itself, taken away, the body professing to belong to Christ, turning upon this,
right,
and yet a work of grace being done in the nation after the church is taken away. I think it is fit perfectly into other passages of Scripture.
No one.
Yes.
I don't see any incongruity at all, brother. Now, shall we move to verse 51? If I ask the multitude what the Lord asked the disciples here, I don't know what their response would be. Now, I'm asking you, did they understand? That's what I would like to know. And I find a difficulty in their answer, not that I'm questioning their sincerity, but I'm wondering if they only understood the scheme, as our brother used that nice word in that sense this afternoon in his opening, but did not fully grasp the dynamics, the way it would be worked out. Because I'd have thought if they understood this, the way we are supposed to understand it, pardon me now, why would they have said in Acts chapter 1, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, we have some discussion on that. Jim, could you come in on this?
Well, it's the re-emphasis on the word understood that has been read throughout the chapter.
Right, very useful.
In six occasions. So that you have the Lord now putting them to the test. The people generally did not understand, and thus they were not able to perceive what the Lord was doing. And what was meant to be for elicitation in the parabolic ministry becomes now their condemnation, and it becomes the sentence, almost a judicial judgment. So to his own, he says, now, have you understood? He's asking them, are you putting it alongside, balancing it out, and seeing what God is doing? And I sometimes wish the disciples hadn't just said, yeah, Lord, they said, Lord, we're not very clear. Maybe we would have got a bit more help.
You had something in mind, Brother Sam, had you?
I agree with you.
Did you? Yes.
Okay. Well, yes. Understanding that the further they come into the present, have you understood all?
Well, if it simply means that they have got to know, they have got to know by listening to the word of the Lord Jesus. But if they have grasped the significance and understood the mystery, I thought it would be something different. But to do so would be what you say. Brother,
I
thought that they were anticipated because the Lord says, therefore, then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Now, I think that this really, in its interpretation, is restored Israel.
A very lovely thought was expressed this afternoon, that the things new and old could refer to the new teaching that the Saviour was giving in respect of the kingdom.
Yes.
I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. The old things refer to that teaching already known in the Old Testament.
Yes. I think that this scribe is anyone, and in a very special way, those that are disciplined in the truth of this passage. But does it mean more than that?
I have thought simply it was this, that when a scribe was reached and saved, which I take it to be become
yes,
true disciple.
True disciple.
He already has a treasure of truth.
Mm.
Being a scribe, he has already a treasure of Old Testament truth. And into that also has become the revelations of the New Testament.
Mm.
So he has a double treasure,
yes.
Things new and old. Mm. That's what I see in it. I don't say to tie it that that's one period or any period. I thought that when he looked at them, he says, now, every man, even from now on, anyone that has... So that many a time, even in Sunday school days, before we were saved, we learned quite a lot of truth.
Yeah.
And it's old in a sense because we already knew it. Some of us were brought up that way. And then when we got saved, we had something additional to that. And we could utilize what we already knew.
Is there a suggestion that the teaching responsibility now moves away from the God-appointed Levite? And now we have the great transference of responsibility, responsibility, and I have thought that the answer, yea, Lord, just means that they've got a key.
Mm-hmm.
If you use it, they haven't understood all of it, but they've got a key.
Yes.
And they were now seen as graves, as disabled, as householders. And the testimony now to the responsibility to teach the truth of God is now transferred to those who are now in the kingdom.
Yes, I think we have a good picture of a scribe in this sense in Ezra. I thought he was a useful illustration in the Old Testament. And I think this is opening to us the responsible side of a teaching ministry. Isn't it? Right? Yes.
Well, the fact that so many figures have been produced while it being sown, while it being reaped, while it being seen, or while it being met, the fact that the Lord has had to be so many shows the difficulty of understanding the kingdom of heaven. And therefore, that's why the emphasis of this particular matter ends with that, the emphasis on instruction, since he has already asked him, have we understood all things? I think that we have produced so many figures, mainly and merely emphasizing the fact that it's so difficult to understand the kingdom.
I suppose it would be considered of me to say that it's not the difficulty, it's the simplicity of it. You know what I mean? I mean, the variety of his similes and his pictures, I thought, was to simplify and to explain the message.
I do wonder whether the disciples had minds which were far less complicated now, and they were able to accept at face value, bearing in mind the simple parables, what the Saviour was saying.
Yes.
We look sometimes for hidden depths and sometimes miss the very simple lessons that lie on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing they had no teaching about the rapture. It troubled their minds. Sure, they hadn't brought them.
Mm-hmm. But it must be anticipated or you wouldn't be reading Matthew 16.
Mr. Bradley, do you think it's significant that the householder is mentioned in verse 2 here?
Well, I thought the sense of the householder with its usages in the New Testament implies a sense of responsibility. And I thought that is the responsibility of the newly instructed scribe to have a treasure, and out of that treasure to have these things that are new, freshly revealed, and something that is old, that relates to a past revelation. And I think it's a good thing that our ministry takes that balance, if we apply it in that practical sense.
I heard a very, very wise man saying, that which is old and only old is stagnation. That which is new and only new is imagination. But that which is old and new is inspiration.
Mm-hmm. New and old. Yeah. The order, I think, is important. Because I thought the new takes precedence to the old in this passage. That's the freshness of the chapter, is it not?
Understanding. Is there a difference between understanding and knowledge? You would know about a thing, you really understand it. Says here, have you understood all these things that come to him? Yea, Lord. Is there a difference between the knowledge and understanding?
Well, there are different words used for that, brother, in the New Testament. I would have you know, says Paul, that the head of every man is Christ. There the word is, I would have you understand. I would have you grasp the significance of what I'm teaching. So I thought the understanding is the grasping of the significance of what is being taught. They would know because of what the Lord has said. But if they failed to grasp the significance, they wouldn't understand. There's a distinction.
Emphasis has been placed upon the responsibility now
yes.
of the scribe instructed unto the kingdom of heaven. it's his responsibility to bring forth out of his treasure things new and old for the benefit of others. And I think it would be a good fact to bear in mind that truth committed to us is a deposit that we need to use wisely and profitably. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will teach others also. It's lovely to come to a Bible reading to imbibe information, but a responsibility rests upon us now as to the information that we receive. Have you had a blessing shown? Pass it on. It was not meant for thee alone. Pass it on. Here's the wise householder, passing on, communicating truth he's enjoying.
I wonder if the word in the chapter
is about
that, the
word being thankful. Just a minute, Brother Wiley. Just a minute. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, you.
Right. Brother. The word affirming in the chapter is being thankful, the word away. I heard in verse number 98, it says, it's caught away. And then in verse number 6, it withered away. And then at the end of the chapter, it says,
very good. Yes, that would be a New Testament epistle approach to this basic subject. Brother David? Bible reading is a place for losing sermons.
really, I just hear about the eighth parable now been brought in.
Yeah,
I've heard it hinted at, but never heard it taught the master of Mother Jesus today.
That's good.
The word night, the same word.
Yes, right through, you see. You get the word like from the second parable to the end one. Right. That's right. Right. Yes, well, we'll just call it an appendix.
Yeah.
And you always can get it out if you want. Yes, brother.
Brother Tom, I've been left with a difficulty.
Oh, my.
Thanks to the assembly. I have listened to teaching and preaching and much emphasis laid upon the unbelief of the disciples. Take the resurrection, the rolling away of the stone, the garden, the looking even, and the going home. But we get messages of their unbelief, and we're invariably led to feel that we are better than they. We believe what they did. Now in this verse 51, it's not a question of believing. The Lord said, do you understand? What I want to know is there a difference or a distinction to be made between understanding and believing? I've been left with a difficulty in view of the fact that are they speaking ironically? Do you understand? Yes. When our message and our ministry emphasize that very large, they can't say there's something here. The thing the Lord said to the field of Israel is, oh, fool, the slow heart to believe all of the gospel.
It is a question to come in at 5 to 7, 4 minutes to 7. I had thought that it wasn't a question of faith. I thought it was a question of grasping the significance and the mystery of the passage that's unfolded by the Lord Jesus. I thought that was it. Those other incidents, I think, are all qualified by the circumstance and, to me, answered by the incoming of the Spirit of God that brought to light those things they did not accept. I thought here they were pretty genuine in saying, "Yea, Lord." I don't think it's ironical. I think that the Lord is dealing with the reason and the range of these parables, and he's asking them, "Do you understand?" I thought that was the passage. And they may not know the working out, but as far as the scheme is concerned, that was their brother's work. I think they can truthfully say they understand.
If there's any doubt about understanding, and there may be some disputes, there is certainly none by the end of the week. The Lord is commissioning his disciples in these evenings and trusting to them the teaching of all nations. And twice he used the expression at the end of the
day. And he's using the same word.
Yeah.
Make disciples is the same word as instructors. Here in the temple.
Go up and teach all nations, and then teaching them all things. Whatsoever I have commanded. So they understood by the end of it.
But mind you, when you come to chapter 15, the Lord said, "Are you also without understanding?"
I thought a different subject.
What's a different subject?
Different subject. I think we have to give them credit for what is in the context of the passage. Thank you very much.
I shall speak the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, we come to never to the end of life's peace. Thank again for our good pleasure. Thank again for the thought you want to hear. And if you ask for the Navy to your spiritual house, I will tell you how much it is. We will be now for the meeting to come. I ask you for thy mercy. So we shall hear to thy church. Your husband, and then should I work, and then will all be with us this day and return to thy thing. Now we give this politician after this, let me be come, and then I will be with
you. Thank you.